Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever, whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the internet. The Last Few Guys Do a Podcast are back for another go at it, talking sports here in the metro Atlanta area and beyond. John Morgo, along with the guys Daniel Bolton and Leon Brown, back in our studio, Leon's Kitchen, for another scintillating 60 minutes of the best sports talk you'll ever hear in this podcast, either on SoundCloud or our friends at radio.com. First up, what's going to talk about, this game just got over. It was a titanic clash of the probably two of the better teams in the NBA, and of course a meeting that tends to evoke a lot of reminiscence, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of great matchups throughout the years. Of course, the Los Angeles Lakers, Boston Celtics, and this one did not disappoint. Another great matchup, went right down to the wire. The Lakers got the victory at the end, and Leon is our resident expert on the Lakers. The Lakers also made a move today, or this week. They dropped DeMarcus Cousins, as the injury-prone player is gone now from the Lakers. First of all, Leon, this victory meant a lot, but you know it was really close, and it was on the Lakers' floor. So, do you think that might give L.A. a little bit of cause for concern, maybe a little worrisome there?
I mean, let's look at Boston. Boston is 39-17. I would call the Boston Celtics one of the more elite teams, not just in the Eastern Conference, but just in the overall NBA. I mean, these guys are legitimate title contenders.
And they're third in the East right now.
Easy. Yeah. And they're legit. I mean, let's be honest. The East is anybody. I mean, granted, the Bucks do have like a – they're like miles ahead of the East as far as record is concerned. But when it comes to those playoffs, I'm not picking the Bucks.
You're not.
No.
Well, you are a Laker man.
You know, at the end of the day, I am a Laker fan. But, you know, also, as being a resident of the media and someone who has to give a fair and accurate opinion, you know, I'm not picking the Bucks. Just like last year. You know, I didn't pick them last year. Why? Because if you were to play, say, for example, you take a Boston team, which is number 3 in the East, which can very well see the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. If you look at the Bucks and the Boston Celtics and you take the four best players on the court, three of those players will be playing for Boston.
Okay. Jason Tatum had 42.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Lakers.
Yes. We'll definitely get to that. He had 31 points in the third quarter. He was torching somebody and everybody. You know, you have Jason Tatum, you got Kemba Walker, you got Jaylen Brown, you have Brendan Hayward. I mean, Boston has a nice team on their hands. I mean, it's a well-balanced team. They're fairly deep. I just don't see how the Bucks can make it out of there. As far as Lakers are concerned, you know, granted, you know, was the game tight? Yes.
Yes.
Did we come out victorious? That's all that matters as far as I'm concerned. You know, this is an NBA team we're playing against. So, therefore, we could play against Memphis. Any given night, it can happen.
Right.
And granted, a team like Boston, you're going to have to get up for. This team is 39-17. They haven't even lost 20 games yet this year. So, kudos to LeBron. Kudos to AD. And kudos to Jason Tatum. I mean, this man is coming. You know, I would call – Dan, what you got – John, Daniel, would you guys call Jason Tatum a max contract player?
Not yet. Not yet.
He
got to give me another year. Because remember, you lost Horford last year. You lost Irvin last year. So he hadn't had a chance to really flourish. We knew where he was going. But now you do with Kemba Walker. And then you have Kemba Walker and you got other guys around you.
Yeah.
You know, that's making this team better. And shout out to Brad Stevens, too. Because they've been just very good this year, like you mentioned, right? But I think this would be the start. You know, this is basically Kemba and Tatum's team, more so Tatum's team, because Kemba just got there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would definitely look into that. But he has to give me another All-Star season for me to start talking about max contracts and stuff. Because we've gotten into this thing to where – teams and players, I think they start to overreact after one season.
You become prisoners of the moment.
Exactly. Like, remember Bismack Biyombo got $18 million after he had that great season in Toronto and went to Orlando. You haven't really heard anything from him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Tatum is an awesome player. He is. Don't get me wrong. And I don't think he deserves his money. But if I'm the owner and I'm the GM and I'm saying, well, okay, well, yeah. I mean, now if he's up, if his contract is up, then yeah, oh yeah, let's start looking at some max money then. But if his contract's not up for another year or two, or he still has another year left, and I'm looking at it like, okay, well, let's go ahead and just lock him up at the end of this contract. Yeah, let's let him play out his year, or we can max him, or we can extend him. You know what I'm saying? If he shows that he wants to stay here in Boston. If right. he doesn't, then, you know, there's going to be other teams looking to get him and get the max money for him.
Yeah, I don't see him pretty much leaving Boston. This man went 12 for 20 with 13 for 15 from the free throw line and 41 points, and 31 points of those came in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they had, you know, he was lighting AD up.
Yeah, all five of the Celtics starting five, they scored in double figures.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the Lakers, it was, again, AD with 32, LeBron with 29 and 8. Shout out to Dwight Howard, 15 minutes, got 10 points in a mop-up work, 7 rebounds.
I'm telling you, that is the best thing that could have happened to Dwight Howard, for him to go over to the Lakers and be with LeBron. His career is kind of revitalized again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's not the superstar, or he's not the all-star that he was when he was in Orlando. We really didn't expect that from him because he's getting older. But he's starting to accept his role in L.A.
Yeah.
And kudos to him for taking the back seat and saying, okay, I'm a bench player that needs to just grab rebounds and block shots and be an enforcer coming off the bench. And that can complement the bench. And that's why the Lakers are doing as good as they are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dwight is getting—he's getting his minutes.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, him and pretty much him and JaVale McGee are you know, the game is what 40 minutes long or something, 60 minutes long. He's getting about 30 minutes. You know, he's getting his touches. You know, and we're not forgetting about Dwight. Well, we only had 15 minutes today, but JaVale only had 20. Let's see, Dwight went for 15. JaVale went for 13. So, you know, I guess we played small ball for the most part. But what's good for Dwight has just not been good for DeMarcus Cousins. What we say is Dwight Howard, the reemergence, the reascendance, you know, the revival right. of Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Pretty was, you know, what did that spell for DeMarcus Cousins, future on the Lakers?
Well, that's probably what greased the exit for DeMarcus Cousins. They don't have – you and I were talking in the car on the way in. DeMarcus Cousins' problem, again, he's injured, and they just don't have the time to spend around waiting for him to come back, get himself into playing shape. And they've got Dwight Howard. They've realized they can get DeMarcus Cousins with Dwight Howard. And now they free up some room to possibly we're past the trade deadline.
So we're buying out now. Whoever's on the buyout.
Right.
So the Lakers right now are looking forward, since we missed out on Marcus Morris, let's go for Markeith Morris.
Exactly.
Who is just as scrappy as his twin brother.
Right? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, you know, we could use that, you know. Now, a lot of people are making the big deal out of, oh, the Lakers just got Reggie Jackson. The Clippers got Reggie Jackson. They got Marcus Morris. Okay, that's great. You know, great, good kudos to the Clippers for making those acquisitions, you know. But – how long have you guys had Paul George?
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. I mean, where's the, you know, at this point of the season, you know, we're concerned about the Clippers for the same thing we're concerned about the Lakers about, was the fact that you guys just pretty much put this team together, and what about the chemistry? The Lakers are gelling. You know, the Lakers are doing what they are supposed to do. The Clippers look like they might take the 3 seed. Maybe even the 4th.
Well, look at how close. If you look at the Western Conference, seeds 2 through 7 only separate each other for 4.5 games. So that's Dallas at 7. That's Dallas at 7. Oklahoma City, who, listen, Chris Paul is just.
For all intents and purposes.
For all intents and purposes, just balling his mind out, man. Right. I'm telling you. They're the 6th seed. Nobody expected for the Thunder to be there.
Everybody pretty much wrote Chris Paul off. People are looking at Chris Paul like, okay, what? Granted, he's on the Oklahoma City Thunder, but we don't look at – he's not going to be there at the beginning of the season. Well, he was there at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Well, granted, he's there at the beginning of the season, but he's not going to be there past the trade deadline.
Yeah, trade deadline.
Yeah. The trade deadline came, the trade deadline went, and OKC is balling right now.
Right.
And they're I look at like if I'm the NBA.
Right.
All right. The NBA has, you know, things have a tendency to work out. We got a call coming. Right.
Oh, we just got a call from my father in Las Vegas, Nevada, Henderson, Nevada, here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. Probably right. Talking to us about what Vanderbilt baseball has done. Vanderbilt baseball playing Illinois-Chicago and defeating Illinois-Chicago in a three-game series. Dad, is that you?
That me.
Okay, so I take it you're calling to talk about Vanderbilt baseball and how they did against Illinois-Chicago. Am I right?
No, you're wrong. I want to talk about Vanderbilt basketball and how they could ever lose a game yesterday.
Well, they didn't really lose the game. The officials lost the game for them. If you really look at what happened, and this, of course, Vanderbilt lost to Georgia yesterday, 80-78 on a heave.
On a heave, yeah.
By Jaden Crump with about 3 seconds remaining. But the key play, what got Georgia the ball, is that they called an out-of-bounds play on Vanderbilt, and his foot was clearly inbounds. The officials missed a blatant call.
Yeah, but he fell out of bounds. I mean, that was a questionable call, I agree, but he fell out of bounds because he thought he was going to be fouled by the guy that hit him in the back. But they didn't call the foul, and so he was out of bounds.
Okay.
Whenever you lose a game leading by 3 points with 12 seconds and you have the ball, there's something wrong.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Are you on the air now?
We're taping, Dad. We're taping.
Oh, you're taping. You know, they get the ball, they foul. They make Lee goes to the line. He's made 10 straight free throws.
Yep.
He misses. They get the ball. But the problem was not that. Georgia gets the ball and goes down the field. But they had 2 fouls to give, and they let the guy go. He goes all the way down, lays it up.
Right.
And now they're ahead by one with 5 seconds, but they still got the ball. They foul, they go to the line, they miss it. Georgia gets the ball. Again, the guy goes all the way down the field, and it's unbelievable.
Down the
court.
Down the floor.
But anyway, on the baseball game, they finally hit a home run. That's the second one in 8 games. Not very good.
But their pitching is lights out. I mean, Mason Hickman
question. Even Brown came in. He blew 2 saves. They should be 8-0 if he was doing what he's supposed to do. But he pitched a good 8th and 9th inning in this game.
Right. Yes, they got Mason Hickman.
The only runs that Chicago that was a 2-run homer by one of the guys.
Right.
But anyway, I'll let you go.
Okay, thanks.
I'll talk to you again.
Yeah, I'll tell Mom. I'll call when I get home. All right. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, she's in bed now.
Oh, okay. Well,
she's not feeling very well.
Yeah,
I know. Call when you get home.
Yeah, I will. All right. Thanks, Dad. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. That was Andrew Morco calling us here.
All right.
Going off on Vanderbilt.
Going
off basketball, on Vanderbilt basketball. Baseball, track, soccer.
Basketball.
He goes off on everybody.
It's good to see that Pops is as alert as a bull.
Yeah, he is. He is. We were talking about the NBA before Pop's call, and it's always great to hear his voice, man.
Yeah.
Always great to hear his voice.
Yeah, we discussed about the Clippers and their lack of continuity,
right.
Potentially.
So, going back to the standings, though, Leon, Houston and Utah are tied for the fourth spot.
Right.
Although Houston owns that tiebreaker, and then the Clippers are a game ahead of them, and the Nuggets are a game ahead of the Clippers. And the Nuggets are 5.5 behind the Lakers.
Right.
So, and I'm just gonna say right now on the limb, look, the Lakers are gonna get that 1 seed, but that 2 seed is still right there,
right,
to grab. And I can believe it, but I can't. The Denver Nuggets are up there.
Yeah, you know still. They were there last year.
They were there last year.
Yes.
It was a 2 seed last year,
yeah.
And everybody was like, "Man, how are they gonna really follow up with this like this year?" Of course they.
Who
are.
Took the number 1 seed last year?
Golden State.
Yeah, Golden State.
Golden State did by a long shot.
They had this guy by.
That's true. That's true.
They had
that's
this
true,
guy by
true.
The name of Curry.
Yeah. Dang, time just flies.
Durant.
Yeah. So Denver was right there with Jamal Murray, Jokic, Paul Millsap.
Right.
No, they quietly.
My man out of Missouri too. He came back. Porter.
Yeah.
Porter's back. So
quietly, Denver has a team on their hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't lose often.
No.
Nope.
They don't lose that much. They don't kick themselves in the foot. They're playing some good basketball. It's just some good basketball being played right now, man. And it's by a plethora of teams.
Right. So now that it's pretty much it's getting dark in the West, you know, it's pretty much, you know, will it be an insult if Kawhi Leonard continues to low manage at this point in the season when things are this tight?
Well, I mean,
yeah. Well,
your whole objective here is to win.
Your whole objective is to get to the postseason, and then win.
You know, and they're going to get to the postseason. Right. I don't think we're going to question that.
Right. So, but are they good enough to take the third seed and be facing teams like Houston?
The Clippers?
Yeah.
They're good enough to take the two.
Right.
They're good enough to take the one.
Right.
Possibly.
And knock some folks off. You know what I'm saying? But I think that what they're doing is like what we've seen LeBron James' team in Cleveland do, mm-hmm. a LeBron James team in Miami do. These teams are no longer interested in the regular season.
No, they're just treading water
into
the playoffs. They're
just coasting. Yeah. Because when it gets to the playoffs, it gets serious. And then we really get to see. You remember these years when LeBron James teams can be a two or a three seed and they still make it to the finals?
Right.
You know?
But at the time, a lot of these teams that are now juggernauts for pups. Mm-hmm. You know, LeBron had to get out the East.
Yes. Because
those, you know, now with the present, the way he was doing in Cleveland, you know, at the time, Jason Tatum, the Milwaukees, the Indianas, the Torontos, at the time, I mean, they were there, but they aren't who they are now. And LeBron pretty much dragging a group of cadavers, quote unquote,
yep.
to the finals. Those days are pretty much up because mm-hmm. the same Philly team that is there now was not there in 2017.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the same Boston team that we see now was not the same Boston team in 2018. We got to be honest about that.
Right.
So LeBron was a marked man. He understood what was going on, and he got the heck out of Dodge. You know, now the Greek freak is now looking freakish right about the minute. I mean, that's nothing you want to be dealing with when it's just you and a bunch of cadavers. You know, so now he's with the Lakers, got some muscle around him, got some goons around him. Now he could go off and, you know, he could beat on his chest as well, too. But as far as in the Western Conference, I mean, it's a whole other animal out here. You know, granted, you know, Kawhi Leonard slacked off last year. Toronto was all right without him. Mm-hmm. As long as he was there and healthy for the postseason, they went off and did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
But right now in the Western Conference, the Western Conference is not sweet. The Clippers, you know, they are going to have to fight for seeding. You know, seeding can really – the thing about it, if they take the third seed, right? You know, right now, let's get this game. Darren, who's the sixth seed right now?
Oklahoma City.
I'm not saying Oklahoma – I don't think OKC will beat them, but I think OKC will give them a run for their money.
I think they'll go five. I think they'll get a game out of it. Yeah. Yeah, the only series that – the only team that I can see giving a higher seed a run for their money is the Dallas Mavericks, because they got probably the best young player in basketball now in Luka Doncic, and he could carry a team. They could upset Denver in all intents and purposes. That series will probably go six, maybe seven games. I don't think Chris Paul has enough around him to beat the Clippers.
Nah,
that's just me. That's just me.
It also depends on how healthy the Clippers are going into the series.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because you look at, like, say, for example, Utah runs up on the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Or Houston runs up on the Clippers.
Like, it's funny because Utah and Houston are slated to play in the first round. What a first round matchup that would be, right? You know, Russell Westbrook gets taken out again by the Jazz.
Oh.
Come on, man.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook wants to avoid the Jazz in the first round.
Yeah, he does.
Because you already got the young man, Mitchell.
Rudy Gobert. Two All Stars on that team, right?
Yeah, what's his first name, though? We got to get his first name. My bad for even disrespecting your name, Mr. Mitchell.
Oh, Donovan.
There you go, Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell. I mean, this man, the resume he has on the resume he took out Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony in the cell.
Yeah.
As a rookie.
Yeah, as a rookie.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
I want to go back to the East real quick.
Okay.
To me, I still think Milwaukee. Nobody has proven to me that Milwaukee, that they're better than Milwaukee. Not even Boston. I mean, Boston will give them a run, But Boston's problem is going to be if they have to run up against the Toronto Raptors. See, a lot of people are not talking about Toronto simply because Kawhi Leonard's no longer there.
Yeah,
and everybody thought they were going to fight and riding them off. But they are sitting at two.
Only
lost 15 games this year, and that's mainly because of the 13-game winning. Well, no, excuse me, 15. The 15-game winning streak that they were on right before the All-Star break. And then you got your Boston, you got Miami. The team that I think I'm more disappointed in, that I think should be higher, is Philadelphia. Philadelphia, to me, should have been maybe a two or a three. I think there were some high expectations coming in this year for them. Embiid is showing some signs of greatness, I guess you can say.
Right.
But I think it's something going on. It's something that's not meshing with this team right now. And they're sitting at five, but
they're night and day from home. I mean, at home they're 26-2.
They're 26-2 at home, best record in the NBA. But they're 9-20 on the road.
That's coaching.
It's like
that's I mean, either it's either coaching, but at the same time, the coach can't play defense for you.
That's right.
That's his mental toughness. I mean, how can you perform when the crowd is not on your side?
If you're 26-2 at home, 9-20 on the road, you better get one of those top four seats.
You better.
They're sitting at five right now. They're a game and a half out of Miami, so you better learn how to steal a game in the playoffs.
Yes, you're not going to that. But it looks like, guys, it looks like the eight seeds for the two conferences are relatively set. I mean, we got a three-game gap between 8 and 9 in the East, and I think a four-game gap between 8 and 9 in the West. So I don't see Portland. I don't see Washington making a move. And it'll be interesting because this will be another playoff where Greg Popovich stays home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, he went last year, didn't he? They got sent home in the first round. They did.
But what I mean, sent home, he's not even going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, he's not going to even be there. Yeah, I don't think they're going to have enough.
Well, 3.5.
I mean, if I look at the eighth seed and then I look at everybody underneath them, we're talking about the West now. To me, I want to see. If it's a team that I want to see get that eighth seed, is New Orleans because of Zion Williamson.
Everybody wants to see that.
Right.
It might happen.
They're only four games out of it. But that Ja Morant, man, if y'all haven't seen this kid, man.
From Murray State, one of the more prolific scorers in NCAA history, this kid has done everything since
coming to Memphis.
And he should
have been an All-Star this year.
Right.
Yeah. He was snubbed out of the All-Star game this year. I really thought he had a chance there. But I can't really see anybody else other than maybe New Orleans, maybe Phoenix. Phoenix having a hard time gelling things together. Devin Booker is legit.
But
DeAndre Ayton starting to come around.
They haven't put things together. But John, what were you talking about when you said that Greg Popovich might spend another night at home during the playoffs? Are you insinuating anything, John, here?
Well, no, what I'm insinuating is that the San Antonio Spurs, a normal playoff contender, are not going to get in this year.
Uh-oh, John, what are you insinuating about Greg Popovich? Is Greg Popovich on the clock?
I think Greg Popovich has earned the right to leave when he wants.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they won't fire Greg Popovich.
No, they could benefit from a high draft choice.
Okay. All right, we said the same thing about Bobby. We said the same thing about Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, they're not going to fire Bobby Bowden.
But they didn't. They let him resign.
They resigned or else you go.
Yeah.
Right. I'm pretty sure they brought him to the office. Like, yeah, we can do this the nice way or the hard way. We're going to do it though.
But it's like, you know, it's kind of like what the Chargers did with Philip Rivers, where they gave him this great video thanking him for so much of his service. And then the subtext is, but you're not doing it anymore.
Yeah,
Philip. You know, we do appreciate all those.
We do appreciate, but you've lost it.
Yes. You're
not there. Whatever you had is gone. We're moving on because we don't think you're capable of it.
Yeah, because right now you know everybody looks at the Chargers as being like this loaded team.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, Tom Brady, he could go to the Chargers. I'm like, dude. Philip, you know, people, you know, put Philip Rivers on, you know, the Hall of Fame meter and everything like that. But I was like, dude, if they let Philip Rivers in, a lot of people got to get in because it's like this man has only been in LT has left the team in 2009. Philip Rivers is now 2020. has only been to the playoffs two times in the past decade.
I don't think, like, well, Philip Rivers, there are so many people in front of him. He might, if he get, you're talking about the Hall of Fame, right?
Oh, yeah, I ain't talking the Chargers Hall of Fame. I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, there's so many people in front of him that are going to get in first.
He might.
If he gets in, might even be the Veterans Committee that gets him in.
And that's down the line.
That's down the line. Yeah, 9, 10 years, same club, passed for a lot of was a prolific passer.
Where is he on the all-time passing list?
He was a prolific passer, but never got it done in the big game.
But I'm just saying that
they have to go to his numbers.
They're going to have to because you can't go to results. Let's not go to results.
You have to go to his numbers.
Oh, yeah, he kept a job for 15 years.
He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No,
that by any stretch of the imagination. If you that means you're a hardcore Chargers fan. If you think and you're a hardcore Chargers fan,
Major.
You don't even think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer.
No.
So if you think that out there, man, come on, man.
Stan Humphries did more for the franchise than Philip Rivers did.
Exactly.
Right. Come on, man. I'm just saying. I'm looking at the results here. When we he was the toast of the town when we had LT. We were always in the playoffs.
So your
that's because all he did was hand off to LT.
Man,
your first year of eligibility is after 5 years. So if we tack on that.
It's 2024.
It'll be 2024. Yeah, if he.
But
retires.
He'll be in the same class as Eli.
As Eli Manning, but wait
Eli's
a minute.
Get,
we're saying that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
We're not saying no. I've never said.
No,
Eli.
I'm asking.
No, Eli's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I'm saying Eli, with his two Super Bowl rings, is getting in before Philip.
Yes.
He's going to have to.
Yeah,
he got
exactly.
He's won two big games.
Right.
And Eli's not even the jury's still out on Eli.
Right.
But you got to look at though, Philip Rivers, you got to look at if I'm the Hall of Fame committee, I'm like, okay, how many times did you lead your team to the playoffs? At least competed for the title. Philip Rivers has not competed out of 10 years, has only competed for the title twice.
Yes.
That's 20%.
Yes.
You got to be at least over, let's look at it like school. It's got to be at least over 70%. I mean, you got to at least be a C average. I'm thinking at least a C average. This man, 20% ain't passing nothing. You can't pass it. Hey, summer school, sir. Summer school. That means you, 20%. You know how many, I'm going to get the stats next time. I mean, 8 and 8 seasons we had.
Yeah. I don't know how many.
We had a lot. We had a lot.
Yes.
We had a lot. See,
it's a lot of mediocre football.
If they let like this, if they let Philip Rivers in, they got to let Tony Romo in.
Well, Tony Romo might get in as a broadcaster.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
they got to let Tony Romo. If that's the case.
I mean, hell, Madden got in as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
But Madden was actually one of the better coaches in the 70s.
He won the big one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his team was relevant.
If Tony Romo gets in, it'll be as a broadcaster.
That's what I'm saying. If they let Philip in, Tony's going to be like, whoa, now. Yeah, hold on now. I had numbers too. How many times you get that? Don't worry about it. How many times you get the playoffs, Tony? No, don't worry about it. Like, if Philip got in, y'all got to let me in. So I'm looking like, shoot. Cause I don't
this is a moot conversation. I don't think Philip is going to get in immediately.
I don't think he'll get in.
No, he's not.
He'll get in down the line, but he won't get in immediately.
No.
Yeah.
It'll be the veteran. We'll be 2050?
Oh,
and they're saying, the Veterans Committee let in Philip Rivers and Eli Manning. And we're all like, I remember those guys back in the day before holograms played all of our football, you know? that's what it's going to be.
That's what it's going to be.
So, you know.
Sepia-toned. NFL films, oldies, you know, they're going to bring it up. They're going to have to bring it up from the chip that they embed in our brains to put memories in, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like remember that big game you had in week 13 against such and such, against the Titans?
Yeah.
You know, we missed the playoffs that year? I mean, my goodness. So, you know, yeah, you can't, if you're going to Hall of Fame, you cannot miss the playoffs 4 years in a row. I just don't understand it, you know. John United's got in, though.
United's had numbers, though.
He also won the
greatest game ever, the 59 playoff against the Giants.
Yeah,
he won the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got at least even if you are like the quarterback, I think that's going to get in. He should get in. They're giving him some crap about it. But I'm looking at Donovan.
Donovan McNabb.
13 seasons, 5 NFC championships, Super Bowl appearances, 60% of his passes completed. 30,000 yards. He has stats better than a lot of players already in the Hall of Fame, and his team was always relevant. I don't think Donovan ever. I can't remember a time when Donovan didn't make it to the playoffs.
Well, he's going to be one of those that's going to get snubbed every year. You know, like your Shannon Sharps, your Chris Carter. Remember, it took those guys years get into the Hall of Fame. They got in.
Chris got in, though. But yeah. I think Donovan, they're going to have to let him in. Because, yeah. I mean, five NFC championships, you know, 6% completed your passes. I mean, I think out of the 13 years he played, he probably missed the playoffs twice. You know, but if Phillip Rivers did that, what Donovan did, then I'd be like, well, and Phillip's my
Donovan's
favorite.
Donovan's big problem is that guy in Green Bay named Brett Favre.
His is coming. I think he's up next year.
Brett again.
Yeah, first ballot.
Yeah, Brett's getting
first ballot.
In.
First ballot. Here's the thing about Hall of Fame, You're going to always have somebody, like, for example, Peyton Manning, right? We know he's first ballot,
without
question.
Without a doubt.
But then there's always going to be somebody else that got left out, then somebody else, then somebody else, and somebody else. And then the train is just going to keep rolling, right? And somebody's got to get left behind. Every time the Hall of Fame stops, somebody's got to get left behind.
Peyton's getting in, though.
No. He won't be left behind.
Peyton's
in. Listen.
Favre's in.
Favre's in. Brady's Peyton's in. Brady's in. Breeze is in.
Yeah, Breeze is in.
Breeze has damn near every password. He's got the numbers.
But he also won the big game.
But even if he didn't win the big game, he still would have been in first ballot.
His team is always relevant. Like, the Saints don't go more than two years.
So what is it? Is it the numbers?
The numbers and the results.
Yeah, my point. Yeah, but the numbers lead to the results.
Not for the Rivers.
Well, how many yards did Phillip Rivers throw for?
More than 30,000.
This year?
Total?
More than 30,000.
More than 30,000.
And how much does Breeze have?
More than 30,000.
50,000.
Oh, yeah.
He's the all-time leader.
He's the all-time leader.
Yeah. Until Tom Brady will probably break that record next year.
Breeze is coming back. So
they'll be going back. Let's just assume that Breeze and Brady, this is their last year.
They're going to retire. I think deep down, they probably have some. They're going to retire the same year. Like Brady's late. Like he Brady's. Cause I think they're both trying to take that record when they leave. I think it's some type of secret, unspoken competition.
Unspoken kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm taking the record with me. Might got more. I'm taking the record with me. No, you're not.
Brady's got what? 6 Super Bowls?
Yeah.
He's got that record.
Yeah.
That's going to be the only record that Breeze doesn't get. And that's probably the one that Breeze wants.
Yeah. And good luck with that one.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You're not going
to. Yeah, you're not going to go to five Super Bowls in the next 5 years.
Yeah. It's just with Phillip, it's going to be kind of hard to deny a man a Hall of Fame when you're a 6 all-time leading passer in NFL history, I believe. If he's out there, he has the most passing yards without a Super Bowl appearance. I think if he's not 6, he's got to be top 10.
Okay.
But that's just by default because you've been playing for so long. But I'm just keeping it honest. I don't mean that. That's my favorite quarterback, so I know this guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's just like if you're talking about Jay-Z, I could critique this man because I've been listening to this man for over 20 years.
Right.
You're right. Phillip is 6.
He's number 6.
Just under 60,000 yards total.
Yeah, he's 6. He's a 6 all the time. Everybody around him is in the Hall of Fame, but at the same time,
Eli's 7th and Ben's 8th.
Ben will get in because you know why? How often did Ben miss the playoffs?
He didn't.
No, Ben's team's always relevant.
Well, here's a number for you. Matthew Stafford's 18th.
How many times has Matthew Stafford has he missed playoffs more than 3 years in a row?
Yes.
He's not getting in.
No. Joe Montana's 20th.
Well, Joe Montana has 5 Super Bowls.
Okay. But check this out. Joe Montana's 20th. Do you know who's directly in front of him?
Who's that?
Kerry Collins.
Yeah, Kerry Collins.
We're gonna let him in?
That's what I'm saying. if you stayed around if you kick a can certain times, you're gonna get down. If you've been around, you kept a job consistently for a certain amount of years, you're going to accumulate numbers. That's just it. It is what it is.
Ryan is 10th. Is he in?
Matt Ryan is 10th all time.
Yeah. Yeah. He just passed that this year. He passed more than Warren Moon this year.
10th.
Matt Ryan's been throwing the football, man.
He'll pass John Elway like second or third game next season.
Yeah.
Damn, Matt Ryan but he missed the playoffs more than 2 times.
Now the question, that's that too. Because Matt Ryan also has the numbers. You know what I'm saying? And he's what was he, the fastest? I think he's the fastest quarterback to this mark.
Let's take this into consideration, the rule change.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's my thing about the Hall of Fame. What's the criteria? Like, what do you do to get in there?
From you got to win. I'm like this. If you're in the Hall of Fame,
Rivers hasn't won, and that's your
there
point.
It is. If you're in the Hall of Fame, you got
to
wait
a
be,
minute. He hasn't won the Super Bowl, or he hasn't gotten to the.
Man, this man only has about how many playoff wins? Like 3 or 4?
So that means we got to leave Matt Ryan out because I think he only has 4, right?
Matt Ryan, let's see.
How many playoff wins he has?
I'm trying to find Phil. Man, they're not listening. Phil Rivers is right.
Phillip Rivers, in the words of Rob Parker, has more children. Phillip Rivers has more children than playoff appearances.
That's his fault, man. That is his damn fault.
Forget the playoff wins, the playoff appearances. We got to look at, like, the only time that Phillip Rivers is relevant in the playoffs, he was a regular in the playoffs, was between 2004 and 2009. He had a 5-year stretch of regular playoff appearances, and he had 4, really, because he missed the playoffs one time. We have 4 years of playoff appearances between 2004, when he replaced Drew Brees, and 2009. Since then, we went 4 years. We had a whole four-year drought. We didn't get to the playoffs again until 2013. We lost against Denver when Peyton Manning was there. Gave him a nice run for his money, though. But we lost in 97 that year. And then we went to the playoffs last year. That's 2 times in 10 years. That you got to go to the playoffs. Like, if you're going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame, it's like being eligible to play varsity basketball, like being eligible to play college. You got to win at least 70% of your games. I need at least 70% of your games, and you got to have in your playoff. So that means you can't miss the playoffs more than 3 times. 3 strikes you out. You miss playoff 3 years in a row, there's no excuse for that. If you're a quote-unquote Hall of Fame quarterback, Aaron Rodgers doesn't miss the playoffs more than 3 years in a row. Dak Prescott, even people could talk the crap that they want to talk about him. His team, he might have missed the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they'll get the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Especially with the new CBA agreement, he might get into the playoffs.
We'll talk about that in a second. Well, that hasn't been decided.
They haven't been decided yet.
And there are a lot of big names against it.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt. Of course, the big thing about the new CBA is that 17th game. That's put into the regular season.
Yeah,
they're going to take away 1 preseason game to make up for it. They're also going to give, not only are they going to give one squad 1 Thursday game, they're going to give 1 squad a neutral site game. And I don't understand that.
Well, I do.
I do. Yeah.
No, I don't. Not so much I don't understand it. Logistically, how are you going to do this?
They're going to play, you know what that's about?
London. 17 games in London, is that what we're thinking?
London, we can either do London, Mexico City.
8 games in London, 8 games in Mexico City.
So here's my thing about it.
I know why they're doing it. Money, question. But money, it's logistics. How are you going to pull it off?
I don't know. They'll figure it out.
We'll have to see. I think this will be one of those things they have to probably plug in for about a year or two. Everybody gets a neutral site game. If you're going to have 17 games, you can't have teams sitting out there. One team plays 9 games at home and the other plays 8.
I don't think
they have to. They have to have a neutral site location. Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that it has to be over in London or in Mexico City. It could be somewhere in the United States where nobody has a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be somewhere like that.
Little economy boosters.
Yeah. It's going to be a question mark. I don't have a problem with it. I think that they can get away with it. But, you know, like you said before, logistics, John, right? Yeah. You know, I think that that's going to be the case. But that's what you're going to have to do if you want to keep from teams barking. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people think that this is just a part of a run-up for expansion.
It's a money grab. I mean, it's getting to, just keep. See, I'm like a traditionalist.
Or are they trying to? Yeah, okay. We got Mexico. We've got London. Are they still trying to? Are they trying to expand to all 7 continents?
That's what I'm thinking.
The other six.
You want a game in Nairobi?
5. I can't imagine them playing a game in Antarctica.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get a game.
They probably will. Knowing the NFL, I wouldn't put it past them.
They're gonna charge penguins $5 for it.
Let's get a game in
Brazil. Fish they can eat.
Let's get a game in Brazil.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, dude.
We're talking about quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame. Here's a question for you: which quarterback in the Hall of Fame has the fewest passing yards?
has the fewest passing yards.
No, look, don't look because you're on the same side I was.
How many quarterbacks in Hall of Fame?
Well,
a bunch of them.
Yeah, a bunch.
Anybody who kept a job more than 10 years?
You know what? This list is just too long. I can't. I couldn't even look.
He was in the league 15 years.
During what era?
The '40s.
In the '40s.
Oh shoot! Yeah, I'm out. I'm out. I was gonna say Fran Tarkenton, but
no. He was 70s.
Seventies.
And Fran, I saw Fran. Where is he?
Fran's like number 13 on the list.
Yeah, no, he's 12.
He's 12.
But he's about to be 13. Aaron Rodgers is going to pass him first game of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to pass him.
Well, the gentleman is 98th all-time in front of such stalwarts as Jeff Blake, Neil O'Donnell, behind Danny White and Michael Vick. He is slinging Sammy Baugh of the Washington Redskins.
Washington Redskins.
Passed for 21,886 yards over a 15-year career.
And they were playing how many game seasons at the time?
Oh, God, probably 12.
Oh, boy. Yeah, see, it's like...
Slinging Sammy Baugh is one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
So, you know...
And that's back in the day when the quarterback position was just another running back.
Yeah. Like, Terry Bradshaw was 61st.
Time out. Sid Luckman is not a Hall of Famer?
Where's Sid Luckman?
He's number 152.
Is there a plus in front of his name?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yep.
Okay, there he is. I did see that. Okay.
And
he's going to get passed by Jared Goff in the first
couple
games.
So hold on. So the plus signs mean that they're in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. There's one at 171, Bob Waterfield.
Yeah, Bob Waterfield. Let's keep going down.
Oh, 210, Jim Finch.
Tim Finch, yeah.
Ernie Herbert at 219. And then they only go to 250.
But remember that now we're talking about guys who didn't even pass the ball. No. So
right.
We're in this league.
When I'm looking at the Hall of Fame, it's W's and L's, man.
Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky's got more yards thrown than exactly. Arnie Herbert. He's about to catch Jim Finks, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, Chad Henne has more than he do.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes is going to be 200th all-time passing yards in his first game.
Yeah.
His first drive, Patrick Mahomes will pass Mike Pagel and Gary Hogaboom.
Yeah, wow.
barring injury, he's a future Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Barring
injury.
Man. Yeah. Something spectacular, isn't it?
I'm just laughing over some of these names on this list. Tim Couch at 177, right behind Tony Eason. Colin Kaepernick is
167.
Hmm. You already got passed by Marcus Mariota. All right, you know what? Let's stop there because we can go down a serious rabbit hole with this list, and I want to get out of that rabbit hole. We are the Three Guys Do a Podcast. John Morgo with Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton. We've been going, talking.
And Brett Favre's in the Hall of Fame already.
Oh, he did get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
He retired a while ago.
He was first ballot already. I think he got in last year, not this past season. Okay. I think his was last year or 2 years ago.
Let's talk about the fight between Wilder and Fury yesterday. What did you guys think of that?
From what I've seen, it looked like Deontay Wilder, you know, for one, his walking around is about 212, 215, he's 6'6". That man, he showed up to the fight 230.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see the game plan, okay, I'm going to be 230 so I can pack on more muscle, but that's not who you really are.
Right.
You know, and, you know, he just, you could tell that he was gassed by round three because he's not used to carrying that type of weight around. Yeah, Tyson Fury, anytime that Deontay Wilder tried to go off and cock back that right arm, Tyson Fury went off and hit him with the old school Jack Johnson Muhammad Ali strategy where you just crowd your opponent and wrap him up. And, you know, it seems that, you know, also he came with that step forward jab that was just ringing Deontay Wilder's bell.
Right.
I mean, to be honest with you, you know, Tyson Fury really won the first fight. But for all intents and purposes, money, you know, they went off and did the rematch. So out of the 19 rounds that they fought, it's safe to say that Tyson Fury won about 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Deontay Wilder comes in, he's being himself. He wants to wind up with that big, you know, that big right hand to catch him. And Tyson Fury just outclassed him. I mean, it seems to me that, to be honest with you, Deontay Wilder was screwed before foreplay. in that fight. I mean, for lack of a better term.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said. Okay. About to dig deep into this one.
Uh-oh.
First off, let's give kudos to Tyson Fury. I haven't seen a perfect fight fought by a heavyweight boxer since Douglas fought Tyson. Okay? What Fury was able to do against Wilder was take away his strength, and it exposed his weakness. He took away that big right hand like you talked about, right? How did he do that? He did that by playing him inside. Most of Wilder's fighters fight him outside, which means he gives him distance. That means that he has time to cock the right hand back and load on you.
Right.
Fury didn't give him that opportunity. Every time he came in or he tried to throw the right hand, it became shorter. The distance became shorter. And what Fury was doing because of the weight, Fury was 273 coming in. He's 42 pounds heavier than Wilder. Yeah. So what he's doing is he's tying him up.
Yeah.
When you tie up somebody, it wears you down. Ask the high school and college wrestlers. They are tied down. And you can tell Wilder was just overwhelmed with that. But the real – but another reason why – I can name about three reasons why this man lost the fight. Another reason why was the third round knockdown.
Yeah.
Where he got hit in the ear and busted his eardrum and threw his equilibrium off. I give credit where credit was due. Wilder was trying to fight his way out of that. He knew he was discombobulated, but you just can't do nothing about that.
Yeah, we've seen the same thing happen to Lennox Lewis back in 2001 against Hossein Rockman.
It did.
Right. He dropped him, knocked his equilibrium off balance, dropped him.
Done, right?
Yep.
You're not going to be able to do that. The only thing his camp did, I don't think he had an impressive camp neither. This is just me, Wilder. Because you didn't make the adjustments in camp. You knew that Fury was going to come in and be a tacticianer. You knew he was that already from the first fight. You know? So what you didn't do, and the problem with Wilder, and listen, Wilder's a great fighter.
Right.
Listen, Wilder has one of the best right hands since Foreman. Okay? He might have the best right hand of all time.
He doesn't have the chin like Foreman.
He doesn't have the chin like Foreman.
Or the gut.
But he also... You have to be able to set up that right hand.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have anything to set up the right hand, and that's what messed him up in this fight.
That's the thing, you know, Deontay Wilder's a fighter. He's a slugger.
Yeah.
That now granted it worked for him 42 times.
Yeah.
So, you know,
so that's the reason why they never changed anything, his philosophy.
Yeah, just like when Foreman fought against Ali. Now George Foreman was 24 years old, 40-0. Imagine, and I'm talking about
made Frazier look silly.
All KOs.
Yep.
All knockouts.
Right.
You know, he had 100% knockout percentage when he met Ali. 24 years old, prime of his life. What do we know about 24-year-old young men? What do we know about it? What do we know? We were all 24 at one point in time.
We thought we were invincible.
We can't be stopped.
We can't be stopped.
We can't be anything I'm doing. I can't be. I mean, you can't be told anything. Nothing. It can't be. So you got this man. I believe that they modeled Jason Voorhees at the George Foreman. I promise you. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees franchise modeled at the George Foreman. Straight up. He was the boogeyman, Megatron. So he runs up against Ali. He's a slugger. Runs up against Ali. I mean, he made no adjustments. He thought he was about to go and run through Ali. Ali outthought him and dropped him.
Yep.
We've seen the same thing, not quite with the prettiness and the skillfulness that Muhammad Ali did, because Muhammad Ali, you know, but it was similar.
Yeah,
but see,
he outthought him.
You're remembering George Foreman when he was a bad man. I'm remembering George Foreman when he was the that great ad for HBO Fights where he's jogging and everyone's handing him food.
Yeah, but you gotta look.
The best one is where he's idling, you know, jogging in place at a traffic stop, and he's got three rotisserie chickens.
Let's talk about that George Foreman, right?
Yes.
That George Foreman also came through and knocked out Michael Moore.
Right.
That George Foreman went out and Michael Moore just dismantled Evander Holyfield.
Yeah. Right.
That George Foreman had Mike Tyson scared.
Yep.
That George Foreman really, how many fights did George Foreman lose at the old man too?
Yeah, he lost to Holyfield by decision.
Mike, who's the guy that started in Rocky Six?
The what?
The white guy who was in Rocky Six.
Jerry Cooney?
No, come on, John, you should know this. The white guy, Mike Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Morrison.
Yeah. Tommy Morrison.
Tommy Morrison.
He lost to Evander and Tommy Morrison.
I didn't know he lost. He did.
Yeah, right. He ran. That man didn't want no, he didn't want no type of lung cancer, George. But Evander Holyfield, I seen George Foreman. Now, Evander Holyfield won the hardest punches of all time. Hardest punchers. Mm-hmm. You see what he did to Tyson.
Yeah.
I mean, you see what he did to Riddick Bowe.
Yeah.
Yep.
George Foreman ate 27 unanswered. 20 clean ones from Evander Holyfield.
Mm-hmm.
And just kept on some Jason Voorhees stuff. Kept on trucking Evander Holyfield to get the heck out of Dodge and went and just win by decision type of stuff. What I'm saying is Deontay Wilder ain't a George Foreman. Not even an old George Foreman.
Right.
You know, I'm just being honest. I mean, George Foreman was sitting here. Right. He was body bagging people. George Foreman, 75 fights or 74 fights, 68 KOs. 90% KO percentage, people. He ain't no that they don't he I mean granted Deontay Wilder was great,
yep.
But George had the chin. George was knocking out people like Ron Lyle.
Yeah.
You know, Ken Norton.
Mm-hmm.
People who broke Muhammad Ali, you know, Ken Norton beat Muhammad Ali, broke his jaw.
Yeah.
So that's the type of factor we gotta look at. George Foreman was knocking out Hall of Famers. When we look at Tyson Fury, and I like Tyson Fury, you know, as a tactician and everything like that, the man licked on that man's neck.
Yeah.
That was that grossed me out, man.
Didn't care for that.
But the thing about it, though, when we start mentioning Tyson Fury's and Deontay Wilder's up to the great side, I believe we were kind of becoming prisoner of the moment. We the best right hand in history and all that. We're talking about Mike Tyson. You know, that right hand, you know, Mike Tyson's right hand was pretty – it's a lot of vicious right hand.
Mike Tyson had a vicious punch.
Vicious everything.
You know what I'm saying?
Vicious everything.
I mean, a vicious everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I got to look at – you know, same thing with the Hall of Famers. I got to look, how many Hall of Famers did you beat?
Well, here's the thing about that as far as Wilder goes. He's coming up in an era that's trying to redeem – the heavyweight division,
which has been dead
since Lennox Lewis retired.
Yeah, for like 20 years.
You know what I'm saying? Even the Klitschko boys couldn't really save the heavyweight division because then the welterweights and the middleweights were taking over now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he came up in that.
Back in the 80s, the heavyweight division was where it was at.
It was where it was at, yep.
The 70s, really the 70s and the 80s.
Really there.
The
70s. Really 50s and 60s. I mean,
really. Ever since the 80s, it was just heavyweights.
Yep.
And then since 1990... it's been everybody else. Then you got MMA, UFC getting into things, and it's really kind of
threw everything off. Yeah, yeah. I think with the UFC,
they're trying.
Yeah,
but like, cause you got to look at how many household names do we have from the UFC besides Conor?
Yeah, that's
Conor's
true.
Like the only Conor's the face of everything that's not boxing.
Yeah,
if you ask me, and Conor doesn't win all the time, but Conor's personality carries. You know,
his
flamboyance, he has the swagger that he's like the face of everything else that's not
face
boxing.
Face of everything else, yeah.
You know, let's be honest. But, you know, when we look at, me personally, when it comes to boxing and the heavyweights, my favorite era was like the 70s. You know, you had the Ken Nortons from San Diego, California, by the way. You had the Ron Lyles, you had the Muhammad Ali's, Ken Norton again. You had Ernie Shavers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had some real, you had Joe Frazier, you had Muhammad, you had Big George, you had Larry Holmes.
Larry Holmes.
Because remember, the strike against Larry Holmes during the 80s before Mike Tyson got around was the fact that, granted, he held the title for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
which is a very long title reign.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, what Hall of Famers did you knock out?
Yeah.
Right. You know, he dusted a 37-year-old Muhammad Ali, which was a 38-year-old, rather, Muhammad Ali, but he was way done.
Yeah.
He was way done, and Parkinson's, I think, had started to set in, and he didn't know it.
And it's alleged that Larry Holmes is telling him to go down during the fight, man. Mm-hmm. Go down. Muhammad Ali just would not go down.
And he kept telling the refs to stop this fight.
Right. It's like they had some.
I remember watching that, man.
Yeah. Nobody likes to talk about. Nobody likes. Yeah. Nobody even likes to. I remember they had a series out called Larry and Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. Where oh, 30 for 30.
Yeah, I'm not watching that. Nobody want to see that fight.
Let me tell you, man. On that, and we talked about this because we had a guest on our show, and it that was one of the things I had talked about as far as when I graduated. My last paper was about masculinity in sports, and I had to institute Jack Johnson, Muhammad Ali, as my basis. And the one thing that I had to put in there was, of course, Jack Johnson's loss to Jess Willard back in, I think, 1916.
Which was set up.
Right. They want that to happen. And then 1980 where Holmes fought Ali. And man, I'm telling you, it took so much out of me because Muhammad Ali was like my idol. Right. You know, my hero. And to watch Holmes, who was doing what he was paid to do. He was doing his job, right?
His job.
It just pummel on this man who meant so much to that era.
Yeah.
Which, you know, of course I wasn't around. You weren't either. John, you were.
Oh.
He's in diapers.
Hey, don't be sad, John. But, you know, just to be around that and what he stood for and what he meant to that era.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And to watch a polarizer figure like that get beat the way he did. You know, the Wilder fight, let's not get that twisted. That wasn't worse than Ali.
No.
Because Ali meant so much more. And Wilder will mean so much. And, you know, Wilder's a good guy.
He's still young.
Yeah, but Ali had to endure so much in his era, which is why his loss to Holmes will still hold as, like, one of the saddest ones you've ever seen. I mean, and then you look at it in Howard Cosell and what he said and how he sounded because they were best friends.
Right.
They were the best of friends. So.
And that is a big surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. So, going back to Wilder, man.
He just got exposed. I don't think
he got exposed, Leon. I think he had already been exposed. The thing is that somebody did something about it this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Fury did something about it.
Yeah.
And was able to go in there and beat him. Kudos to his the only thing that I think his corner did right that night was stop the fight.
Yeah.
Everything else, they did not treat him. I don't think they treated him correctly as far as his injuries or anything like that. And they just kept telling him go inside. Attack with that right. No, it's not working.
Every time you try to go inside, the jab is coming.
The jab is coming
to meet you.
Yeah, it's right there trying. And he's eating, and he's not going to be able to eat that up. So, you know,
He's got to go back to the guys were saying. You know, he's got to go back to the drawing board.
You got to
go back. It's like with the Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get him to change. They were trying to get him to change the way he walked. Because he's so heavy, and yet and still he's so agile. Like, oh, man, he's an injury waiting to happen.
He's Greg Oden waiting to happen.
Right, but he's going pretty strong right now. You know, that's just who he is. People said the same thing about LeBron.
Yep.
LeBron, you know, this man came in a man-child at age 19. You know, in his 20s, you know, LeBron was like 270 in his 20s. He never had a significant injury. That's just who he is. Tim Tebow, you know, granted, the NFL didn't really give him the shake that he wished to have gotten.
Right.
But they try to, you know, they try to change a lot about Tim Tebow. Like, dude, that's who he is. You can't really change people in adulthood, you know?
And on that note, this is the last for you guys to do a podcast here. John Morto, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Now it's time to talk about things you might have missed. Little quick hits through the world of sports. And guys, in Toronto last night, we don't talk about the NHL too often, but in the match between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Toronto Maple Leafs, how would you like to be David Ayers? His day job is driving a Zamboni for the Toronto AHL affiliate. However, the Hurricanes, their two goalies went down with injuries in the first and second periods. They needed a backup goalies. In comes Mr. Ayers, a 42-year-old Zamboni driver, to play goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes, the emergency backup goalie. This doesn't happen very often. Mr. Ayers got the victory. Yes, he did allow two goals, but during the third period made seven saves as Carolina beat Toronto on their home ice 6-3. And this is kind of like me going to a Billy Joel concert and suddenly being called upon to play drums.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of that
story.
It's kind of that story. You just go and you are pulled in and done and really have to perform and compete. And under those circumstances, what this gentleman did, especially being 42 years of old, being able to handle himself, his composure, to withstand the pressure and get the victory. He's got it. I mean, he's going to go in the annals with a W in this one. He won that game for the Hurricanes. Congratulations, Mr. Ayers, and you've got a big, good story to tell. Next John, time you take that Zamboni out.
Let me ask you, are you following the NHL right now? Are you? Who do you like right now?
Well, I like Vegas Golden Knights. They're second. I believe they're second.
Oh, they're back in it. Okay. Yeah,
they're back at it. You were testing me, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
You didn't think I've been following along here.
No, I knew you were. That's why I asked. Okay. So you like the Vegas? You like the Vegas Knights?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go Vegas. Yeah.
I got the next one. My next one will be. I'm gonna touch on. It's like you got the it was just the reemergence. And retirement.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
that's seen a good segment, man.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good one.
Because these guys are both the same age.
Mm-hmm.
You got the reemergence of Lil Wayne with his funeral album.
Yeah,
selling as many units as his. I'm gonna say his best album, the Carter Three, maybe back in when did Carter Three come out? About 2009.
2009.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of streams.
Yeah.
Kind of, solidify his footing in hip hop history. And as being one of the greatest rappers of all time, but this album that he had coming out with Funeral, he dropped it with no hit singles, and it's actually the number one. It was the number one album last week in the country. I mean, we've just seen the reemergence of Lil Wayne out there anywhere. But on the heel of the retirement of Dwayne Wade's jersey for the Miami Heat.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like I would say that's like it's almost, you know. It leaves you feeling nostalgic, but it's like almost the end of an era.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. You know, you had the untimely passing of Kobe Bryant, which mm-hmm. it even sounds crazy I was even saying this.
Right.
His memorial is tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be huge. It's going to be emotional. But you know, we have one player left from that era that's still going strong. I mean, we have Vince Carter. He's still around right now, but he's not, you know, he's pretty – Vince. It's safe to say Vince retired 5 years ago. He's just still playing. But when we look at LeBron James, he's still pretty much he's still very relevant in this game. But Dwayne Wade, you know, retiring his jersey makes me feel old.
I remember when Shaq came, his second year, he came to the Heat, and they said, and Stephen A. Smith mentioned Dwayne Wade as a super rookie.
Right.
I said, oh my God. Last night we're retiring this man's jersey in the Raptors.
Oh, man.
Well, don't feel bad to Dwayne Wade. He's married to Gabrielle Union. Don't feel
bad. He's good. Yeah, oh, he's great.
But it makes you know, that's just how it is right now. Everything that goes along, every day you're going to find something that says, oh, crap, I'm old.
Man, I'm like, because he got KG. KG's about to get to the Hall of Fame. I remember he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, Paul Pierce is about to be in the Hall of Fame pretty soon. The Ray Allens, Tim Duncan's, the Manu Ginobili's, Tony Parker's. I mean, goodness. What's next? So, that's about 60 right there.
Man. All
right,
man. Real quick, I wanted to give what was it? It was a thumbs up, thumbs down. Okay. Thumbs up to the NBA. All-Star Weekend was amazing to me. I think they really outdid themselves. The three-point shootout was amazing. Buddy Hill won that. Bam Adebayo won the skills challenge. So all of these were close. And the dunk contest literally came back.
Yeah.
The two best dunkers were out there. I thought Gordon should have won it, but
whoever would have lost that would have felt robbed.
So because Derrick Jones, I kept telling folks, Derrick Jones Jr. dunked his behind off of me. And even my man from the Milwaukee Bucks, who I thought he had the best prop.
Came out there looking like Billy Hall from White Man Can't Jump.
I thought he had the best prop of the night. And then, you know, to see Dwight Howard in the dunk competition, just to let you know, look, man, I'm 34, but I can still do this. And I just wanted to do this just to do this. But I think the best thing that they did was the All-Star game. I thought the All-Star game was incredible.
Right.
The format in the fourth quarter when you had to go to, you had a set time, 157.
Right.
The game became competitive.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And yes.
That's what it was all about, man. That's what I'm talking about
Chris
right
Paul
there.
Chris Paul was involved.
Chris Paul was involved in it. Yeah. Yeah. Chris Paul back in the All-Star game. Right. That's who's supposed to, he's supposed to be there every year. So I give kudos to the NBA for doing this. Of course, majority of it was due to the passing of Kobe Bryant. You know what I'm saying? But keep this rolling. And then you name the All-Star MVP trophy after Kobe
Bryant.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Kudos to the NBA. Adam Silver, he did a great job. We talking about commissioners, right? I'm going to give a thumbs down to Rob Manfred. Man, who the hell does he think he is calling calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal?
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? I know he apologized.
Yes.
I got it. He apologized. We all accept his apology. But, man, you are the commissioner of baseball, which means you're one of the faces, and you're the main face of baseball.
Right.
And you have the nerve to say a piece of metal. But this the same piece of metal that the Astros are cheating to get. Right? The same piece of metal that the Yankees won 27? What is it? 20? Is it 28?
Too many to count.
Too many to count times that the Yankees have won. And you think it's a piece of metal?
Yeah, I think the Astros situation, because because when the Astros got caught cheating, it just left a bad taste in everybody's mouth.
Oh, this is a bad thing for them.
This is a horrible thing.
This is terrible.
And
this
then, it's like, well, the
Astros—it's all over again.
Yeah, and the Astros basically—they're like, why should we apologize? You know, it's not so much we did nothing wrong. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you over this big hunk of metal that's on my finger right now.
So what y'all gonna
that
take?
That says world champion on it.
Are you gonna take it away from me?
Over all this noise that this thing is making. But really, guys, and I really want to delve into this, and we don't have time. I'm just gonna make one.
No,
point.
You got it, man. Take it off.
I'm just gonna make
because I'm
point
done with him.
I'm just gonna make one point on this, and then we're gonna go. What your base? I think baseball more than basketball, more than football, more than hockey. That's the sport that kids grow up start playing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what they do.
That was my first love.
Yes, exactly.
Well.
There is this tie-in between baseball and youth. What the Astros have said, the Astros have taught America's youth, it's okay to cheat as long as you don't get caught.
Yep.
And I think that's the lesson that the kids might learn from this. And also, there is just no way that this was going to stay hidden forever. Simply because you got 30 guys, they're all in on it. Anyone who played on that team knew it.
They tried to say it was just a player.
You see, it wasn't like the Black Sox scandal.
No, everyone right. on the yeah. everyone on that
yeah.
team
it wasn't like
knew
that.
It.
Yeah.
Now these guys, they're getting because of their performances, they're getting fat contracts, and most importantly, they're leaving. So yeah. you get a guy who goes into the Minnesota Twins front office. He looks in the dugout and says, "Okay, where's the trash can?" And people are looking like, what are you talking
what
about?
What are you talking about?
Basically, right. this was not going to stay quiet forever.
No.
Simply because of that. And also, guys are going to come in and they're going to say, okay, this is what we're doing. They're like, what are, you know.
And outfielder Josh Reddick came out and said that he's receiving death threats. And right. a lot of other players on that team are
right.
receiving death threats.
Right? Like I said, that's the lesson.
Yeah, this is huge, man.
That is the lesson that we're getting. It's okay it's okay to cheat as long as you don't get caught.
Yep.
And that is not the lesson that we want kids to learn.
No, not at all.
That's me off. And again, I could go off on that for a long time, yeah. and maybe one time we'll do it. But we're going to wrap this up now for the last few guys to do a podcast. Thank you so much for downloading us. Appreciate it. Send us your comments. Send us any concerns, whatever you may have. Appreciate that. We'll be back with you in 7 days with a new episode. So for everyone aboard, for my dad, Andrew Morgo, who called in, hope he calls in again. Thanks so much. We'll be back with you again in 7 days. This is The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast.